Skal du ha en...
Ja, vær så god. Det passer bra.
Nei, det var vik.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hasty switch of language.
Yeah. So, you have been abroad.
Yeah, a couple times.
A couple of times? Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. Bless me, co-host, for it has been several weeks since my last podcast recording.
You just say for Dan Benjamin's and...
Is that really the plural?
Benjamin? Benjamin?
Dan Benjamin's? Dan's Benjamin? Dan Benjamin?
I think it's Benjamin.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have been abroad, but which abroad do you want to talk about? Because I've been back to the UK a couple of times now.
A couple of times?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I am not sure. It's like buses. You wait for a long time and then three visits come at once. I might go four times this year, after not going for 18 months.
Because of work?
No, mostly not. Mostly random private reasons. Not private, like I'm not going to tell you, private, like not work. Privately.
Because you're a secret agent and you can't disclose.
I couldn't say.
No, of course.
But so many things have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to Estonia.
For you, at least.
For me, yeah. Like, what are you going to talk about? Yeah, it's not like you have a new commute or like you're halfway out the door to a new job or you live in a new city.
But I'm
or
still in limbo. I'm still
you are
in between. But perhaps... lesser and lesser,
if that's... You're, yeah, diminishing knit returns or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm spending quite more time in my new house.
Yeah.
Fixing stuff. Because even though you have bought a completely finished, done house, there's still a lot of things to do.
It's never done.
No. It's a process, everlasting process.
So what have you done?
Well, we decided to get a new kitchen, so that has come with some, not that much, but some things to fix. And of course we had to have some furniture and stuff to have clothes in.
You're so traditional.
And so on, so... last Thursday, I spent the day just mounting IKEA stuff.
National Day. You're putting together Swedish furniture on Norwegian National Day.
That basically
this
makes
is
me
like
a traitor,
the highest
right?
level of treason. Forradery.
Yeah, so what I told myself is that I'm not celebrating the freedom we have doing...
The freedom to be Swedish on Norwegian National Day.
Yeah.
Oh. I saw a guy with a Sweden t-shirt on National Day who I thought was trolling everyone in a very impressive way.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. There has been some debate about flags.
Right. So, like, is it okay to take another flag other than the Norwegian flag on National Day? I was reading a little about this.
Well, it has been for a while, and then some people started caring or minding or something.
So now maybe it's not okay. Except it is, but it's not.
Yes, so to untangle it, do our listeners know what National Day is?
Well, we talked about it last year, but I have no confidence that anyone is listening to this, so... Short summary.
So it's basically the celebration of the Constitution.
Yeah,
which also is, it's involved in Norway being its own national state, right?
But so, the constitution is like 100 years older than the state.
Yeah, that's right.
I only had to like learn about this four times or something every course I've been to, like.
it's complicated, I guess.
Yeah.
But. But yeah, it is mainly the constitution, because this, the 17th of May was the day that the constitution was signed by all the white men. There was this author, one of the great, as we call them in Norway, who he did a lot of sort of, he had a large initiative for the celebration of 17th of May, and he
Do you have a name?
Bjørnstjerne Bjørnson.
Okay.
Yeah. Try to write that if you don't have the Ös.
OE is fine.
But he sort of conceptualized this as a children's celebration day.
Mm.
So it's the mental, the mentality is that this is a day for the children. So they are allowed to eat ice cream.
Mm, as much as they want.
As much as they want, and hot dogs and so on.
And wave at the king.
And wave at the king.
So how long does the parade take? I still haven't seen Barna Torga.
Hours.
Right, just... this poor king is like 80, right? And like, he's got to like wave for 4 hours or whatever.
I suspect it's one of these new wax dolls.
You think they rigged up a kind of a mannequin that can just like move its arm a tiny little bit, yeah.
Who could tell the difference?
Oh, harsh.
And yes, so there are these parades, and people are dressing up in the so-called bunads, the national dresses, and so on. And everyone, except those who serve at restaurants and so on, have the day off.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering if your day of fitting together flat pack furniture began with a champagne breakfast, and what effect that might have had on the furniture.
I'm not sure you are allowed to have a champagne breakfast for yourself.
No?
Well,
was it just you?
It was just me.
Oh, yeah. There's a name for that. Yeah. Okay. You could, but
I could next year in Røyken, I guess.
Proper style.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah, but I have to be honest. If I'm allowed to be honest on this podcast, I have not really celebrated 17th of May for a couple of years, for some kind of profound reason.
Okay.
That I couldn't explain.
Okay.
I guess without some regression therapy or something. I don't know. No,
linear.
Really.
what kind of? Yeah.
but yeah.
Hmm.
So how was your 17th of May?
Well,
in
I'm
your
just...
new home country.
Yeah, I just realised there's like a nice flag waving segue here. We dressed up briefly, so we put on nice clothes. We went out. My husband was just like, you know what, I can't face going into town with all the insane people. So we just went out locally, had a cup of coffee and a bun, looked at all the other people dressed up. Yeah, came home. Then we left the country, which is also a really Norwegian thing to do, right? Is to like leave town when the 17th of May is on.
Yeah, yeah, people. Doing that, yeah.
Yeah, this was mostly kind of random. We had agreed to go on holiday with friends to London, and originally they said, oh, let's go on the 17th and make the whole long weekend, and then their travel plans changed, so they left on the 18th, but we just went anyway.
Yeah, so you decided to spend your holiday in London.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I have mixed feelings. It's interesting to go back, because we lived there for several years, and... we didn't know this until like 3 weeks before or something. It turned out there was like this little wedding on or something in London this weekend.
Yeah, I heard of that.
The other prince, the other not prince. Crown prince, was getting married. Are either of them handsome? Okay.
One of them has to be.
Anyway, yeah, so that was like really poor timing on our part, because lots of people I think went to London this weekend. But it was great because we just stayed well away from any of the celebrations, and mostly we're not exposed to it. But the flags, like if you thought there were a lot of flags in Norway last week, Oh boy. British flags.
So you're saying that there were more British flags going on?
So many flags.
Well, I take this as a challenge. It's really important to have the most flags on a national celebration.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the UK did extremely well by that measure. Yeah. It was really interesting to be back in London. I was there briefly earlier this year, but only very briefly. And it's big and it's smelly and it's noisy and it's full of people, and there are far, far, far too many people in London, and it's dirty, and it was so nice to come home.
But is it the same or has it changed?
I was expecting more change. I couldn't tell. That's maybe partly about where we were. I wonder if I would have... I noticed more change earlier in the year when I was in Manchester. In the north of England, which is totally, like, socioeconomically, a totally different thing.
So when you say London, as someone who has visited London as a tourist, I tend to think London of as the centre.
Right.
Is this the London you are talking about, or...?
Not really. I mean, that's still there. I'm reliably informed.
That's a relief.
I guess. I mean, honestly, would it be so bad if that just, like, washed into the sea? Would
you know that to sort of become a Norwegian citizen, you don't have to sort of trash talk the other place, right?
Oh, but it's so easy. no, mostly we hang out in East London, which is where I lived when I lived there. It's kind of... What is the thing that's left after the wave, the hipster wave, has passed? Apart from, like, the good coffee and the kind of, like, what do you call the...
So surplus gentrification or something?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Like, it's got all that, and not all of it. I mean, plenty of it is not gentrified at all. But it's kind of realer than tourist London, okay. Which is probably the bit that you saw, mostly.
Yeah. So they're real people with struggles.
Well, I don't know, some of them are hipsters, so they're not really real people.
Those are the most struggled people.
No, they're the people that other people struggle with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was interestingly a relief to come back. Right, yeah.
But what about this? Do you find stressful or whatever?
Too big, too many people, too noisy, very dirty. Like outside, immediately the kind of the centre of Oslo, there's not really much mess or noise or that many people, and that drops off very quickly, and London just like goes on like that for kilometres at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the mess never stops, and the dirt never stops.
You like it clean.
I do. Don't judge me, man. I do. I like a clean city. And I was thinking when I was cycling this morning, it was like 6:15 or something, and I was like, London at this time of day, at this time of year, would be already lots of traffic, horrible to cycle in, too warm, too noisy, not very safe as a cyclist. And here I just kind of wheeled all the way into town and saw a couple of cars and some other bicycles. That's better.
Yeah, sounds better.
Yeah, it is better.
But some people like the sort of the urban environment.
I liked it. I do like it. But having done the other thing for a while, it's nice when it stops.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you're younger and like our friends are super into kind of eating and drinking and stuff like that, and they were just like full tilt London for 4 days, and I had to take breaks from the eating and the drinking and the London. But they're younger than we are, so.
So what's your strategy for taking breaks when I suspect you are expected to be, I guess, very social? It sounds like that.
Yeah. I'm just going to look at my computer this morning, guys. I'll see you later.
Okay, so yeah. You don't leave anything behind or in between sort of you come to this to the state where you don't need or feel that you have to make excuses. You can just
Not really. I don't know. Like, I'm just, yeah, I don't know. I'm not capable of spending 4 days walking, talking, eating, drinking continuously. I would just, like, explode. And maybe that's worse because I'm older, I don't know.
So, speaking of 4 days eating, drinking, and socializing, you've also been to another country.
Yeah.
In Europe.
Estland. Yeah.
Estonia.
Yeah.
12 points. That also happened.
They had a good dress and an opera singer, if I remember rightly. Did you watch Eurovision?
No, I didn't.
Are you even a real Norwegian? Okay, we need to talk about the Norwegian entry. What the hell? That was weak applesauce. That was just so bad.
Those four chords have worked before, though.
Oh, classic design. Okay. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, no. That was terrible. That was a very poor showing on Norway's part. I'm not saying the UK entry was, like, amazing or anything. I'm just, oh, I was disappointed. But not as disappointed as Sweden, who were also terrible and got loads of points.
I didn't watch this, so I knew about the Norwegian entry. And
the Swedish entry was, like, Justin Timberlake light.
Hmm.
Like, you know,
like
for...
Like off-brand Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, or, like, a kind of diet version.
Timberlake? Bieber?
Timberlake.
Which of the Justins?
Timberlake.
Timberlake.
They have both Timber and Lake, so it kind of makes sense, but, like... Oh. Anyway. Estonia.
Estonia.
Yeah. Big Venn diagram. Eastern Europe in one circle. Scandinavia in the other circle. In the middle, Estonia. Yeah. There you go, we've discussed that. No.
Yeah. Yeah, perhaps we have.
Yeah, no, I've never been to the Baltic Republic, so it was super interesting. And it is exactly that overlap.
Hmm.
But they're trying super hard not to be very Eastern European in the kind of old style. They're really trying to be very kind of Western European and modern.
Yeah.
Per the whole digital government and digital everything else. They're pretty good. Yeah, it was really interesting, actually. We went a tour. They have, like, a whole centre for this is how we are doing digital government, where they explain, like, how they've done it. And we had a tour there. And the guy was just getting to the interesting bit that we, as people who work in that kind of sphere, we were like, oh, this is really good, this is really good. And then we were out of time. We had to go. Oh, I think he was more used to kind of visiting dignitaries who don't know anything about, like, the internet. Oh, I see. And this is a computer, is it? And how does this work? Oh, so you press this button. How interesting.
But it sounds to me that they have succeeded. Lots of the digitization stuff.
Yeah. It was interesting. They were kind of proud of stuff that has been around in Norway for a long time.
Yeah.
So things like Bank ID, which is just kind of a thing that people here seem to take for granted. How long has that been here? Like 15 years?
That much?
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, it has been some variations. So, well, not 15 years. Perhaps crossing to 10 or something.
Okay.
Because it's not that long ago that I had the sort of mini calculator code thing.
Oh, the Codebrick.
Yeah.
Thing, yeah.
If that counts as Bunky ID,
I don't know. So. Well, if you were using the same system and you just had to... Yeah, I don't know. But now it's on mobile, right? Which is the thing that works for everybody. And of course, smartphones have only been a thing for about 10 years.
Yeah.
So that's newer. But... yeah, it works really well. This is just like a way of verifying your identity using your mobile phone and some personal data. And it's super good. It works really well. The UI leaves a little bit to be desired, but the experience of your phone flashing on and off
is
terrifying.
Funny because it had a really bad reputation for a while because the browser implementation was written as a Java applet.
Okay.
So it's kind of like Flash, so it constantly nagged you to update Java.
Oh, what a nightmare.
Yeah, and it often didn't work, and it didn't work, sort of, this applet didn't work on phones and so on. So it's kind of nightmare. Mm. People hated it.
Mm.
And then they finally managed to write it in JavaScript, I guess. It all was solved.
Right.
People were happy.
Mm. It works super well. And I noticed the absence of it in the UK as a way of proving your identity. And I knew this because yesterday I had to go like an animal to like a physical place and have them take physical copies, like photocopies of some documents that are my personal documents, like a driver's license and a passport, and stamp them like barbarians. And then I had to put them in the mail to the UK to prove my identity for a financial product that I'm a trustee for my dad for. And I can't even, like, who does this? And this would just not be a thing in the UK, right? So anyway, sorry, Estonia. They were talking about some of this stuff, and like I think all the Norwegians were like, "Well, we've had this for a long time." The kind of digital citizen stuff, it joins up maybe rather better than the stuff in Norway. Like a problem most places, I think, even if they have digital services for citizens, like health services and being able to vote and all of that, is they maybe don't talk to each other very much. And they're very proud of the fact that their health system is kind of integrated. So if you need to go to a hospital, they can also access your doctor's records if they need to do so and stuff. So they know about you. And if you meet that service at different points with different people, they are able to access relevant information about you.
Yeah, but we have that now.
But does it work?
Yeah, it seems so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Does it work in any other sphere but health?
Well, which other sphere should have access to my health records?
Well, this is a question. It's not necessarily that you want your health records to be accessible by non-health professionals, but more like if you, what are all the different points at which you interact with the state, and which of those would it be helpful to have communication across? Like the fact that you pay your taxes, should that be linked up with, I don't know, other things like whether you're an immigrant or not, and like whether the Department of
This system
Immigration.
sounds scary.
Well, this is a genuine question, right? Like, I don't think there should be, and he was at pains to talk about this, actually, the guy in Estonia, was that, like, only people who should be accessing your information should be, but there's also, like, a trace of who has seen it.
Yeah, of course,
And
there
that's
has to be an
super
audit
good.
log or something.
Right, right. So you know who's looked at it, and they need to have, like, a justification for looking at it. And they were all over that, which I thought was really good.
So, I can now log in with Bunky ID into my, it's called Min Helse, myhealth.no, and there I have everything from my journal.
Your patient journal that your
Yeah,
doctor keeps, or yeah.
so what I have written about me, and all my prescriptions and communication between myself and my doctor, and I can make reservations and all that stuff. It's
At a
really good, actually.
restaurant in the hospital near you. Yeah. Yeah.
And
The UK, I don't think, is nowhere near this.
So I think we are beginning to tie stuff a bit up together. But yeah.
Tax returns is another thing.
Yeah.
Pain in the ass in the UK, particularly if you don't live in the UK. Even more of a pain in the ass. Here, you log into a website, you look at some stuff, you kind of like, it's a very bad UI, but like it kind of works, right? You sort of look at some things, you go, right, yep, okay, that seems right, yep, that's all, okay, click the button, done.
And you don't really have to do that.
You probably should.
You probably
If you're
should, but
like
you
me and
don't
your
have to.
financial circumstances changed a lot from the last tax year to this year, and you did things like buy a house, it's probably good to check that stuff. But they had it all, which is either creepy or super helpful, depending on your perspective.
But it's just I guess a consequence of your employers and I guess banks, they are reporting some of the stuff into the state
But it
and
all goes to, yeah, but you say that like the state is this kind of big black thing from 2001.
I think that's sufficient
Okay. Well,
to
like one thing. Damn, not Monopoly. What do I mean? Monolith. Yeah, there you go. And in the UK, that's not the case. in the UK, like different government departments who deal with different things don't share information because they can't, because their like technical architecture is like not compatible. They're trying to like this is it's a work in progress, but I've spoken to people in the course of user research there who were so outraged because they were immigrants and they told one government department all about who they were and they proved their identity and they'd done all this stuff. Their tax, meanwhile, is like a whole other thing. No one in that department knows anything about them. They have to repeat all of that information all over again. They have to prove their identity all over again. They have to re-deliver all of that information, which is time consuming for everybody. And it's basically a problem of technical architecture. So I'm coming from a country where like people are just barbarians. The expression on your face is, I didn't like to say.
Well, it's interesting because a year ago I would join your bandwagon completely, but now I'm just. It sounds it's easier to sort of. But it's not really because you have a
Surveillance.
surveillance thing going on, but it sounds like it is easier to hide, sort of, or to.
You can't hide from the state in Norway, and I guess you can't in Estonia
I guess
either.
not.
And then there's a whole conversation there about, well, I have nothing to hide, but if you have an audit trail of who's looked at your records and that is itself audited, is that enough?
Who audits the auditors?
The meta auditors, that's who. Speaking of coming from an uncivilized country, I promised you a thing. Cute beanbag noise. This thing still on? This is the kind of uncivilized country that I come from.
Yeah, because you had brought something in a bag.
Two sundaes.
No. Yeah.
These are very special.
Crisps. Crisps. Grab bag. What? So this is a traditional British lunch, yes.
It's part of a traditional British lunch. I'm sorry to say, I could only find things that are now like international, like conglomerate food, but it was the flavours that I thought were interesting.
So this is Walkers. Is this is a ripoff of some other logo or something?
I think they are now maybe like Frito-Lay, but also something in Norway as well. Again, I think this is just like one company that makes crisps for the entire country now.
And fresh taste guaranteed.
Good luck with that.
What's a grab bag? Is because it's small?
Because it's bigger, I think,
Or bigger than.
than like it should be.
What's the story about the sizes of chips, crisps, bagged crisps?
Well, they used to be a lot smaller, and then people started making them bigger, and then the population started getting obese. I'm not laying that at the door of the crisp manufacturers, but I'm just saying they both happened around the
It's
same time.
the fault of big crisps.
Big crisps. Well, you've got to take on big crisp, not big Chris. Although increasingly, but the I think a grab bag is a disclaimer. I think a grab bag is like, we know this is bigger than one portion, and we hope you're going to share it with people. It's a bit like sharing bag or whatever, like that. And this is our insulation against, like, this is what the lawyers tell us so you can't say that you got fat because of eating our crisps.
We've been perfecting the fresh taste of our crisps. Crisps. It's really hard to.
Yeah, as a Norwegian, yeah.
Or as a Knut, I guess.
Yeah, oh.
Since 1948,
Yeah.
made with 100% British potatoes and seasoned with our famous flavors. We're proud to put the delicious crunch into the nation's favorite crisps.
Wow, that is hard to say. So,
So, yeah.
the most important information on that bag is
Yeah.
sadly rendered in a tiny font, which is what flavour is it?
It's how do you say this
I
actually?
really want you to try pronouncing it, I'm sorry.
What's just a sauce? Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire. Well, I can't even say Worcestershire.
Pardon? I'm just contacting Walker's Crisps with Worcestershire.
Worcestershire. Or is it just Worcester, actually? Is it just Worcester? Worcester. It's just Worcester.
Worcester. Mm. Yeah, it, because it's the zester. This thing makes a lot of trouble for foreigners.
I know. It's done on purpose. It's like reglemmerflæ. It's like...
Yeah,
it's a shibboleth for non-British people.
Worcester. Worcester.
Oh. Worcester.
Worcester.
Like Jeeves and Worcester.
Yeah. That's Jeeves and Worcester.
Yeah, but it's just the same.
Worcester sauce.
There you go.
Yeah. Right, cool. And I guess the second grab bag, it's a celebration. Yeah. Celebrating flavors of the decades, 1980s. And it has some, I guess, they would call ethnic design. chicken tikka masala.
Mm. Which is supposedly Britain's favourite national dish, but the thing is, it's not really Indian. We kind of invented it.
Yeah, it's like chop suey or something.
Yeah, which isn't real either, or...
Well, real, it is real, I guess, but it is
it's not authentic.
It's authentic in the sense that, but it's a byproduct of Chinese immigration to the US.
Mm.
It's still real. Okay, but yeah.
Cultural appropriation flavor.
Title. Oh, don't get me started. In the 80s, Indian takeaways took the nation by storm, and leading the way was chicken tikka masala, a favorite then and a favorite now. Yeah, that's. Are you expecting me to?
It's a bit early.
Taste this now.
You can report back if you want. I won't judge you if you don't eat them now.
After this recording, I'm going to a really intense session of making a proof of concept for a really big contract that we are trying to
Ooh.
Get.
Ooh.
So this will be handy. But. I need some chopsticks.
To eat Indian British crisps with? Wow. Mix it up, why don't you?
Because when you... Crisps and keyboards.
They don't. I hadn't thought of that. We should get more chopsticks in the office.
Yeah, because we definitely need to eat more crisps.
We do not.
And fatty.
No one should eat these.
But thank you.
You're welcome.
Norway is a big crisp country as well.
Yeah.
But not as lunch or a sort of daily for daily consumption, more like a weekend thing.
Is it a Friday evening with kind of beer and tacos kind of thing, or Friday evening is pizza though, or is it?
Well, not know. I think Friday evening is. I think tacos are more prevalent now, but the pizza it has always been a Saturday thing.
Okay. Yeah. I'm doing it wrong. Pizza is like weekday, and I'm tired, and I don't want to cook.
but yeah.
Should we go back to Estonia? We are literally all over the map.
Well, some of the map.
Okay, a small.
Yeah.
Navel-gazing part of the map.
Do you have any more interesting things to say about Estonia?
I think it was less Eastern European than I thought it was going to be, despite being right up next to Russia.
Okay, but in what sense was it, though?
There was architecturally was a really interesting overlap between Scandinavian and Eastern European. It was just kind of right in that. I don't know. I spent a lot of time in the Czech Republic, and it was kind of a very nice Venn overlap between those two things. There was some older stuff, just infrastructural stuff, buildings and roads and stuff and fences and things like that that just smelled kind of post-Soviet. But I think they've tried very hard to rinse all of that. Oh, wow, yeah. I was expecting street signs in Russian as well as English or Estonian or both. Because it is really near Russia. There is a sizable chunk of people living there who are of Russian origin rather than Estonian. Sorry, you can be Russian and Estonian, you know what I mean? Ethnically Estonian? What even is the phrase for that? A lot of people there speak Russian and that's what their parents spoke and so on. A lot of people there speak Estonian and that's what their parents spoke, etc. So, I don't know, whatever the phrase is for that. Not a trace of Russian anywhere. I think it's all been kind of swept away as a relic of like, we don't want this kind of Soviet stuff hanging over us anymore, thank you. Like, really deliberately gone. And that was really interesting. I mean, if I had thrown off the shackles of the USSR, I'm sure I'd have done exactly the same. You don't want that, like, empire stuff hanging around. But it must be really interesting to be a Russian person living in Estonia now. Because, like, say you were alive 40 years ago compared to today, all of that is just gone. So I thought that was pretty interesting. All the food we ate was pretty, mostly pretty defiantly kind of modern.
Defiantly modern.
Yeah, like I mean, we're privileged to be able to eat at some really nice places, and they were like really going for it food wise. I didn't eat anything that was kind of like, They served us really interesting biscuits where we were staying. Like there was a kind of, you know, here's some juice and tea and coffee and whatever, and here's some biscuits that don't taste of anything. And that felt really traditional. That was like, oh, this is Eastern Europe right now. I'm here. Like, here's some biscuits that taste slightly of cheese. Here's some biscuits that taste slightly like if you took, hey, if you took an Oreo, and then you like diluted it 1,000 times, and like you were left with the kind of the homeopathic Oreo kind of quality. Then that's what this biscuit would taste like. So there was like that was one of the few things that sort of remained as like, oh, this is,
Let's appreciate the idea of tasteful biscuits.
yeah, but like, yeah. I don't know, what things do you wonder about? Have you been there
I haven't.
or anywhere near?
No,
Okay,
not really.
Finland.
Not even.
Okay, a lot of vowels.
What now?
They have a lot of vowels. Vowels, you would say.
Where in Estonia or Finland?
Yeah, both. Yeah, they're crazy for vowels. They can't get enough of them. They just keep throwing them into the language.
Yeah, it's beginning to be a problem because some other places they lack vowels.
Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about them?
I know. Well, maybe they can trade.
Also, vowels is a new oil or something.
I guess.
Right. Well, yeah.
What are your unanswered questions about Estonia?
Well, I'm tempted to ask what should I question, but
Well, how
well.
do you think of it as like, where does it live in your head in the map of things that are kind of vaguely Russian, things that are vaguely Scandinavian, things that are Northern European, like
Well, I think
Finnish?
something like what you said,
Yeah, okay.
but perhaps we could take this back to the a more of a personal level because I didn't go.
Yeah,
I was supposed to go,
I know.
but I didn't,
This was a shame.
and it was partly because of logistical reasons. But there was also an element of me thinking that perhaps bonding a lot with colleagues I'm now sort of leaving is weird.
Yeah.
But
You could have seen it as like a last hurrah, kind of like a.
yeah, I
Yeah.
guess, but
I had intended to like give you the worst hangovers of your life had you been
oh, I'm glad I didn't go.
there.
But when you guys left, I had a feeling that I thought I had sort of grown up from, namely the famous fear of missing out feeling, the FOMO.
It never goes away.
But to me, it kind of has, but not. Yeah, there was some struggling there.
Okay. And how did you deal with this?
Well, I asked my colleagues in Bergen to not post everything on our Slack channel. But yeah.
We were very contained. Like last year, it just spilled out all over
Yeah.
Slack. This year, it was like in its own box.
It seemed very focused, and you could also see that from what you guys made, because it seemed like a very productive couple of days. You made some cool stuff.
Have you seen the thing that we made?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was called, but
Tell
this,
Instrument was the
yeah,
name of
Tell
the.
Instrument. So
Yeah.
it's this, I guess, party game jamming thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you
Play music with other people.
give me the elevator pitch. And now we see I have millions of dollars in my back pocket.
Why on earth are you sharing an elevator with me? Why don't you have your own private helicopter to take you to
Yeah,
the
that's
penthouse?
true.
So imagine you're sitting around at a party and like sometimes, like in the good old days, someone would take out a guitar, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of lame now. It's not, it's nice
Is it
actually when
lame?
people do it. No,
Is
not at
guitar
all, but
lame?
it's like, who does that
I
anymore? No, it's
didn't
fine.
get
Keep doing it.
a
But people like to make music and people like to hang out, but they also like to look at a screen, right? This is what we do now. So you're sitting around and you're like, hey, we should like jam. So someone sends a link and everyone falls into this web page, and on their mobile they can now kind of they can choose an instrument or a set of instruments and they can join in like a kind of pre-prepared section of sorry, it's way too early in the morning for this. You can make noises and you can make noises in time with other people,
Yeah,
and
so
it combines.
it's kind of the sequencer, right?
Yeah, loosely speaking, so you program it and you say, I
Yeah.
want this noise to happen at this point in the sequence, which is like
Yeah.
8 bars, 16 bars, whatever. And then everyone fits together and you get to hear what everyone sounds like. And you get to adjust all the time based on like, you know, what you're hearing and whether
Yeah.
it sounds any good. The funnest part was recording all the sounds because we didn't like, these are not pre-prepared sounds. We went out and we recorded bits of Tallinn and we like hit lampposts with things and like recorded churches and just collected all this stuff from everywhere. And then Will and Ian and Jørn nerded for 2 days to try and like pare the sounds down to something that was reusable. And I'm in awe of the job that they did because that's not easy. Like when you record something, there's cars going past, there's people talking, there's all this white noise that you can't do anything about. And they took all this stuff and they made it into kind of clean sounds that were short and reusable. I'm super impressed by that. And then we made it into a thing you can play. I did very little. My job was like, okay, we've got like functional specs. How do we make this work? Like, what is the functional spec?
Yeah, that sounds like a trivial role.
It felt very trivial for someone who's used to putting their hands in stuff, and like it was like, really, is that
You
my
became a
contribution?
manager, did you say? Or you're a project
No,
manager, or?
because we had a project manager.
Okay.
So I was like, really, my role, like the most important thing that I did was, okay, how does this have to work? What do people need to be able to do? In what order?
It sounds like sort of an important thing to.
So it's totally invisible. Totally invisible work.
Yeah, but that's interesting, because I guess in a group like that, I guess much credit, and I guess it's due, goes to the people that does some programming and stuff like that.
Yeah, or make the appearance.
Yeah, because it's tangible in a way.
Oh, the color palette is from me, from photos I took.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you have
Other
it.
stuff like that, like
Yeah.
tiny little invisible things.
But the critical thinking work, the high level thinking, that's which are hard to do if you also, for example, are programming. That is also often invisible.
Yeah. It should be invisible to the user, like the whole point is they should
Yeah,
not
to the
think about any
user,
of that.
but also in the narrative about how this project went down.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So And I guess we, if we were a serious podcast, we can go into some. I guess you have some gender issues here and so on.
Go into it.
We are given the roles and so on.
Go on.
Yeah, because I was thinking about this because, for example, now that me and my wife are doing stuff, decorating and so on in our house, I often tend to do much of the, I guess, heavy lifting.
Literally heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And.
But your wife is only like a meter high, right? Like she can't.
But she does most of the coordinating and planning and stuff like that. So, but when people are, I guess, coming home to us and they are seeing the end product of and tying that to what has been done, sort of with the materials and so on. But the other part, the planning and coordinating all that, it's as important,
right?
Because if that hadn't been done, the other things hadn't been done. So,
but it's invisible work.
It is, and I think also the way that kind of work are distributed along, I guess, genders, are often typically that people who are not men, perhaps often tend to do all the planning things. And so on, and people that are not women are often ending up doing the construction or assembling stuff.
Probably, of course, a little crude, but yeah like big overlap crude, in the middle.
Yeah,
there's definitely a thing about like invisible labor, like even leaving the gender thing aside.
But you can see that in our company as well. What are the gender distribution among project managers?
Right, it's like one guy, right?
Yeah. And they are doing essential stuff.
Yeah.
But it's often sort of invisible in the narrative of the project because we don't talk about how well this meeting was coordinated or how we were able to mitigate a client that was not happy. I have seen amazing work been done by a project manager in this line of work, but it's not that often talked about, really.
I think also I've thought about this a lot, actually. Yeah. As a design, quote-unquote design company, that's an uncomfortable phrase. I don't know what... But we produce things, right?
Yeah.
We make stuff, code, design, things that you can look at and interact with, and we fetishize that deliverable.
Yeah.
And if you are not, if you have not personally made part of that deliverable, like if you did not form it in some way, like choose the colors or the visual appearance or the make the code that, you know, makes it work or whatever, then like your contribution is hugely underrecognized.
Yeah.
Because we focus on the thing that we made.
And this is why I very deliberately often talk about project design instead of project management, because it is.
Project management is also, like, unfortunately unsexy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know, the only, often, if you're working on a project, the only discernible kind of contact you have, like the, you know, we get kind of hung up on, like, objects and surfaces and stuff like that, is, like, someone saying, can you fill in your timesheet, or... Like, don't go over budget or whatever. And that's not really a sexy impression to have of someone whose job is actually really complicated and highly skilled.
Yeah, exactly. And thinking about it, so my idea of design has a lot of do to make something. It's to make something, but not just that. It's to make something within a set of constraints. And those constraints are key for whatever you are making. And they can be technical or aesthetic and so on. But perhaps the most important constraint is time. And the time is kind of in the hand of the project designer. it's often expressed as fill in your hours, but that's a really important tool for the project designer to have.
Yeah, and constraints are like, everyone likes a good design constraint, except time, I think. I don't think anyone likes that as a design constraint. Oh, but if I could just spend 20% more, it would be so much better. No, you wouldn't. You're into diminishing returns. Let it go.
Yeah.
It will never be perfect. Ship it. Yeah. But everyone wants that 20% extra.
Yeah.
Like everyone wants to get paid 20% more. I don't know if that's actually true, but like... I understand that, like, if you interview people at, like, every level, everyone would just be happy if only they had that little bit extra. What if you were happy now? Mind blown.
Well, I for your next, I guess, what's the name of the conversation you have with your manager or...
Oh, like personal development, something, something. Yeah, I don't know.
You can state that you are satisfied with the situation. No need to...
I have said that before. I have actually said that before. Like, because we asked, you know, like when we do, like, whatever survey it is that we're doing this week about, like, you know, how satisfied are you? And, you know, like, you satisfied with, like, how much you earn? Yes, I don't mind saying so.
So this is a sort of a game. So then they will begin to... Oh, it's just,
should we take it down?
Or why is she satisfied? Should we give him more?
Is this like a reverse psychology? Yeah. Like if I say, will they give me more if I say that I'm satisfied now? Hmm. Yeah.
Perhaps they will appreciate the honesty. And...
Perhaps they'll think they're paying me too much.
Yeah. Perhaps we have. Or
perhaps they are.
Perhaps.
Who knows?
What do we spend an hour at work recording podcasts?
This is not really work time.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think we've like done Northern Europe, gender inequality, architecture, crisps. What more do you want? National Day, flags. Patriotism.
Flags. Yeah.
Did you like experience anything remotely patriotic on the 17th?
I ate ice cream.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Are you a child? Everyone, the moment you put an ice cream in someone's hand, they're a child again, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so nice to... Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. In London, we were walking around with our friends who are Norwegian, right? So I'm talking Norwegian with one of them, and we get buzzed by this guy on a... cycle rickshaw, like, you know, the people who have like a big tricycle and they give rides to people for money. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I don't know what to call it. Let's call it a rickshaw.
Isn't it a rickshaw?
I don't know.
Bike taxi.
Bike taxi,
or
yeah.
A bike cab, as you would say. Yeah.
But he clocks that we're not speaking English, and so he comes over and he's like, oh, hey, where are you from? Like, trying to get custom.
And what do you say?
I say, well, she's from Norway and I'm from the UK. And he's like, oh, you know, like, you're going somewhere. Oh, no, we're just on our way to dinner. Oh, can I recommend somewhere? Blah, blah, blah. No, we're fine, thank you. But it was the first time that I'd been originally, like, taken for a tourist in my own country. And there was a lot of switching between Norwegian and English, including, I heard, like, one other set of people speaking Norwegian the whole weekend. So it was a little bit like being able to disappear.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
It's a dangerous game, though.
Yeah, I know. Like, you always... you think you're fine, and then you're like, suddenly it's 2 a.m. and you're in, like, this kebab place in Berlin, and, like, the guy behind the desk speaks Norwegian, so, yeah.
That actually happened.
It did actually happen, yes.
Hmm.
But, you know, it was kind of interesting to be a foreigner there.
Yeah. I guess the podcast listeners saw the quotation marks you just
air quotes foreigner. Well, arguably I now am, because I don't live there and increasingly divorced from the experience of being British.
I guess you're an emigrant.
Emigre, maybe?
Emigre.
Yeah, with two E's and an accent. Mm. Maybe. Oh, one E, two E, because I'm female. French. Who knows? Anyway.
So, yeah, word of the week. I actually have a word of the week.
Good for you.
Inneklemt dag. You know
Yes,
it?
I do. I had one.
Can you explain it?
Is it really annoying to explain it in terms of French?
No, I don't.
So in France, I think they say faire le pont, which is, or pont, maybe, I'm not sure, which is like to make a bridge, which
Yeah.
is to make a bridge between the holiday that is not a Friday or a Monday and the weekend. So they say
Okay.
to call it making the bridge. But
Yeah.
this is like a hugged in day, right? Which
Yeah.
is much cuter. This is like, here's a day when you have like a Thursday holiday, and then you've got the weekend, and so the inclemt or inclemt,
In the clamps.
inclemt day is the day in between, and most people take it off, because why wouldn't you? And then you've got like a 4 or 5 day weekend.
Yeah, and this time we were lucky because it was also damn it, I should know this. It was a holiday weekend. Don't give me that look.
Well, look.
Well, the Monday.
Pinsa.
Yeah. What's that in English?
I'm not
Always.
sure. There was Ascension Day, right, before.
No, yeah, that was the week before.
And Kristi Himmelfahrt, which is still the funniest holiday.
Yeah, that was last week.
Right. I don't know what this is called.
Pentecost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Idris Elba Day.
Hmm?
Idris Elba. It's a character in Pacific Rim, right? Stack of Pentecost. So that's how I think of it now, as we're celebrating Idris Elba.
Yeah. So to have a bit of theology here, last first or not the 17th, but the first day before that, Jesus. I think I told this story last year,
You
but
did.
yeah,
Jesus farts and
he
flies up into the
rocketed to the
sky.
skies,
Yeah.
right? And there was a week of the disciples being a bit, I guess, miffed, wondering about, not sure, so sort of,
Aimless.
yeah. And I guess last weekend they got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Aquavit, other.
Yeah, I made that joke on Twitter actually. I kind of regretted it, but
Yeah.
yeah. It's funny because it's kind of true.
Okay.
Yeah, because what you now are calling aquavit or spiritus, it has exactly the same etymology as the Holy
It's
Spirit.
water of life, right?
Yeah.
Aquavita. Yeah.
And it gives you the capability to speak in foreign languages and yeah, being loud in crowds and so on. So yeah.
Not so much with the walking on water. Don't try this at home, kids.
It can be done.
Now I'm wondering if how many of these jokes we made last year. Don't go back and listen to that. Nice.
Yeah.
Hug day.
Hug day.
Idris Elba day. Cool. Do you have a cultural pick?
Do I have a cultural pick? Well, I can certainly pick something from a culture. I mean, I've been watching the HBO TV show Killing Eve.
Okay, I know nothing about it.
It's really good.
Do I need to know anything about it other than it's good?
Actually, you don't you need to not know
Okay.
anything about it. But you'll have Britain, the US, Russia, and a Danish actor.
Interesting combination. We're going to start watching The Rain, which I don't know anything about,
Yeah.
except that it's shot in Scandinavia, I think, but I think it might be an English language series.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I heard it was good, I don't know. You're
Okay.
making a face.
Yeah, because I've heard
You
something
other.
else.
Okay. It depends if it's like Scandinavia presented for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
That could get tiring. Okay. I'm going to try it. I've had enough cultural words and picks. Do I have any words? I'm all out of words.
Ha det bra. Takk for at du hørte på.
Takk for at du hørte på. Ha det bra.